welcome to the Hipsid podcast with Rabbi Simcha, the little podcast that could. Today, we're going back to our origins, back to our roots. As many of our listeners know, the first podcast, we had a bunch of British rabbis talking about the footy. So we're now midway through the season, getting to the midway point. And we have some reoccurring guests. We also have joining us a special guest celebrity superstar who we will deal with in a moment. First, I'd like to welcome back returning guest, Rabbi Teddy. Say hello, mate.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. We also have joining us in the studio. It's actually not the studio. We're sitting in the game room of my building, and we are literally sitting on the couch. We also have returning guest, Rabbi Yisrael Beanstock. Say hello.
Hello, Simcha. Thank you for having me back.
It's a pleasure and honor.
Thank you.
Joining us, recurring guest, we have Yisrael Kiefman. I'd also like to acknowledge that Yisrael Kiefman has been the secret source of the podcast. You've spent many, many countless hours editing all of Beanstock's faux pas. Okay. We also have joining us a filmmaker extraordinaire, all the way from London, which means obviously he is a Man United fan. We have Menachem Weinstein. Say hello, mate.
Hi, Simcha. Thanks for having us. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. It's been a bad year for us Weinsteins.
Yes.
And
yes.
We have to stick together. Okay. Yeah. We also have our headline keynote superstar
guest. Should I introduce him with...
Moving on. Okay, we also have joining us on the couch in the game room, slumming it from Hollywood to my couch, none other than TV's Ashley Blaker.
Hello, Simcha. All
right, so Ashley Blaker, I have your bio over here.
Okay.
The format of the show is that I just hog the mic.
Okay.
And you don't get a word in edgeways.
That's fine, I'm used to that.
It's like being married, except to me. So I've got the bio over here from your website.
Okay,
so I hope it's true. Ashley Blaker isn't your average Orthodox Jewish man.
That's true.
He is also an internationally acclaimed comedian, seen and heard on BBC television and radio. I want to hear a big whoop whoop from everyone.
Whoa.
All right, calm down. Okay, he's also had two sold-out UK tours and performed in the USA, Israel, South Africa, and Canada. He recently completed a five-week run off-Broadway, which the New York Times called a sickly funny stand-up show.
Slickly. I think you just said sickly.
Yeah, you're right.
It might have been sickly as well. Some people might have found it sickly, but thankfully they said slickly.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. It is slick and not sick. And in
sick in the way that my children use it. They go, like, oh, it's sick. But not in a way that an adult uses it.
In August, he is a comedian. Okay, I just think I'm a comedian. In 2018, Ashley made his debut, this is quite impressive, in the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, which sold a run-out show called Observant Jew.
That's right, sold out, yeah.
Should I keep going?
How long does this go?
I'm going to jump to the end. While at the BBC, Ashley was responsible for unleashing the comedy phenomenon, Little Britain, of which I am a fan, and has worked with a who's who of TV comedy. His company, Black Hat Productions, see what you did there, is currently making several new series for BBC Radio 4. In the past year, Ashley has been featured on Fox News, in the New York Times, New York Post, Financial Times, Jerusalem Post, another one which I can't even pronounce.
Süddeutsche Zeitung. Seriously, it's the number one paper in Germany. And the weird thing is, it's a big article in German, and they wanted to do a feature on me, and I did an interview with someone in in London. But then I've had loads of requests to do stuff in Germany since then, which I thought was really odd. I don't know why. I assume it's some kind of like reparations.
Robin Williams said they killed all the funny people. Okay, and finally, you've been featured in Jewish newspapers all over the world, but that doesn't really count.
You'd expect that.
And if Ashley has any time, then it's spent being run ragged by his six children and three cats. Welcome to the stage and the podcast.
Thank you.
Ashley Blaker.
Well, that's why I'm living in America at the moment, to get away from the six children and the three cats. Yeah. I miss it. I actually do miss those cats, actually.
Okay, so I also, everyone's
I FaceTime
to chip in with some banter. I have some questions for Ashley, then I want to open it up and let's discuss the footy, and especially today's footy. Sheldon sitting quietly in the corner over there. By the way, I want to acknowledge my good friend Sheldon Kay, who's quietly observing the podcast. Ashley, ready?
Yep, I've
got hard questions over here.
Go on, then.
Okay, so question number one. You are a Balchuva. For those listeners that don't know what that means, you grew up normal. And of your own choice, of your own volition, you chose to become an observant Jew, much like myself. I can imagine you growing up secular. You would come home. Your mother would prepare you a hot Ribena, packet of Quavers, if you were lucky, pickled onion, Monster Munch. And what was the impetus? What made you go Meshuggah from?
Most of the listeners here in America, because I've met Americans who said to me, you're not a proper Balchuva, you're a con man, because I'm like a proper Anglo-Jew. So I went to shul most week, synagogue, like virtually every week. I've never eaten treif, I've never had a McDonald's, I've never eaten non-kosher meat and whatever. So people say to me, like, well, you're a Balchuva, no you're not, you're a complete liar. But you know what, it's totally true. When I got married in early 2000s, and we joined our local synagogue. You get free membership, you see, in the UK. If you get married in a synagogue, they give you free membership for a year, your local synagogue. One year free membership. Yeah. So I thought, oh, you know what, I'll go and have a look. I've got something free. I'll go and have a look what the shul's like. And this very friendly rabbi ran down from the front, how are you and whatever, and I enjoyed it. So I went back the next week, and he obviously thought, aye, I've got one here. And he said to me, and he kind of upped the ante at this point, he said to me, we often struggle for numbers on Saturday afternoon. Is there any way you could come back to help make up a minion? And I'm terrible at saying no to people, hence why I'm doing this podcast today. And so he said, so I said, all right, I went back. And then he didn't say thank you. He said, what are you doing on Sunday morning? Because we often struggle for numbers. And then it was Monday morning. It was by the end of the week, I was going every day. And pretty much that's how it happened. Completely, because I can't say no, basically.
Funnily enough, I think you're describing the exact mirror experience that I had growing up in England. I was always dragged to shul, and we'd come home, get in the car, go to the footy.
Yeah. But I never. I wasn't involved in one of those, like, Aisha or one of those things. I just yeah, got into it, started going to synagogue more often, and there you go, and that's where I am now.
But I remember when I was in England, if there was a big kiddish, it was like, if you saw fish balls, you knew it was a big kiddish. My mother would tell me, it's a fish ball kiddish.
Yeah. They don't call them fish balls here, though, do they?
In America, no fish balls.
No, they call them, no, but they do have them, but they're called fried gefilte fish, I think they'd call them, wouldn't they?
I used to grab the fish ball, I'd put them in my knuckle, I'd get like, I looked like Freddy Krueger, but with fish balls. No, I didn't put them in the pocket. I don't know. No, I never did that. That would be weird. Okay, so your background, Ashley, is working for the BBC.
The Beeb.
The Beeb, as they say.
Yeah.
And according to the interwebs, you are quite buddy-buddy, chum-chums, with celebrity comedian Matt Lucas, who apparently
very good
just
mine,
liked your last post.
No,
I should say for the listeners, by the way, we've all just watched the Manchester Derby.
Mm.
And Man City slaughtered Man United 3-1. Sorry, Menachem and Sheldon. And Ashley was posting, and Matt Lucas liked it.
Yeah, no, we're... So,
7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Or Matt Lucas.
Of kosher Kevin Bacon. Matt and I were at school together. We went to a very strange school in northwest London, not a Jewish school, but a school full of Jews, that seems to just have produced either lawyers, accountants, and comedians. So I was at school with David Baddiel, who, if you're British, you'd know. Sacha Baron Cohen, who everyone would know. Matt, myself, and lots of other people. A guy called Robert Popper, who wrote Friday Night Dinner. There's about 15, 20 comedian and producers and writers, whatever you went
and
to at our school.
Chaim Miller
as well. Lots of interesting people. Anyway, so Matt was in the year above me, but we were very good friends, and we still are very good friends. So there you go. And I did become more orthodox while I was at the BBC, which is a bit odd, because like one day I was just kind of looked kind of normal, and then one day I walked in wearing a kippah And like somebody said to me, like, what is it, a Jewish holiday today? Why are you wearing that? And I said, no, it's, you know, it's what I'm doing now. I've decided this is what I'm going to do. Which I think they just thought was bizarre. But I still don't think they get it, actually, because I was like chatting with someone at the BBC once, and I just like mentioned God. I made a passing reference to God or something. And this woman looked at me completely open mouthed and said, you don't believe in God, do you? I just thought, like, well, what do you think? I just walk around with string hanging out of my pants for fashion reasons or something. Like, I mean, really? What do you think? I walk around like this for fun? But, like, yeah, I think they just thought I was a hipster, which I'm sure happens to you all the time.
All the time.
Exactly.
Okay, hipster.
Exactly. I mean, like, looking exactly in Williamsburg.
Okay, by the way, Ashley is currently on sabbatical. Well, not sabbatical. You are on tour. Tell the listeners what you're doing in the States.
Well,
and how you managed to get rid of a wife and six kids and three kids.
No, that I'm not telling you. That's because impressive. One day I'm going to write a book about that, and every man in the world is going to want to buy that, and I will
become, be the best that
I'll become a billionaire then.
The new Harry Potter.
No, so I will be doing a national tour. Oof. From February, starting in New York, then working up the coast, then working west and what have you, and then coming back to do some Broadway dates. So that'll be like February through April. But before that, I'm just living here doing lots of individual shows. I keep busy. Just lots of different shows. I was performing last night in Manhattan, the other day in Miami, next week in Baltimore, Toronto. So I just kind of get around doing kind of corporates, if you like.
If you don't mind me asking.
Yes. Right. Well, I can't say it until I know what the question is. You ask me the question,
like,
and then
keep,
I'll say whether
I like
I mind.
I like to keep the podcast light. I don't like to be personal. It's, yeah. You know, it's a conversation. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. What are you making per show? I'm just curious to know how that works. Are you disclosing VAT back home? And what are you pulling? I'm thinking, I've got a great story, by the way. I'm sat at the show with Rabbi Teddy.
What was this one? This was the one at the Gramercy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
This
was
the Gramercy. In
my first
and like
ever show
all
in New York.
Yidden, I'm thinking to myself, what's he making?
What's he making?
I'm
exactly.
looking around.
I've
had do you get a cut of the concession stand? How's
drinks.
It work?
Drinks.
Every show's different. But right. But why are you thinking getting into this yourself?
I'm thinking you're probably pulling in 5G a show.
That's why.
I don't know.
Okay.
So I'm sat at the show and I'm thinking to myself, how much does he make? Because that's the natural question.
No, and
you got to hear this, right? I'm sat with Teddy, and this was a Thursday night, I believe. That Sunday, we had a fundraiser, a charity campaign in the synagogue. I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be great if we can get Ashley Blaker to come to the fundraiser? The next day, Teddy calls me up. He says, I just bumped into someone. Ashley Blaker wants to watch the Liverpool Everton game somewhere. He's coming over. I thought, great, I'll schlep him into the fundraiser. And we did. So that's it. The divine providence. Mm. So, okay. All right, Ashley,
yes.
You don't mind.
Okay.
Get to the...
No, you know what? I was doing a show in Manchester, and I was just about to go on, and somebody did do that thing, which I think Jackie Mason even talks about, but genuinely just came up to me going, yeah, I've just been counting the rows, and there's 20 on each row,
right.
And there's 10 rows, and we reckon, you know, it's £15 a ticket. We reckon you've got $3,000-$4,000 tonight? What is it? $3,000-$4,000? It's unbelievable.
No, so really.
Is juice.
What is it?
That is
three
juice,
or
exactly.
$4,000.
So it's fair to say you make about the same much that Simcha makes on every podcast.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Bag of beans. Okay, so is it three or four? Just next question. He gave me the nod. Like,
that's number three.
Gave me the nod. And Ashley, you are. This is going to be a footy podcast. Mm. So grab the mic, boys. Ashley is a lifelong Liverpool supporter.
That's true, yeah.
How'd you get into Liverpool?
I was a. You know how some people are like have gender realignment. They're like. They say they're like a woman entrapped,
there's
born
a
in a man's
in
body.
The room here.
I basically feel like I'm a Scouser born in a Cockney body, basically. So I think that's what happened. And so I haven't had the surgery done yet to properly Scouser. I haven't exactly got the tash and the kind of perm. That's how I feel, basically. I was a Scouser born in a Cockney body. So yeah, I was born in 1975. So. Like, obviously, you know, this was the era of Dalgleish and Rush. And so a lot of my classmates would have been Liverpool supporters. I think, look, you know what I was talking about becoming from? There's basically a trait here. I'm somebody with a completely obsessive personality. So it would never have been enough for me just to go to shul on a Shabbos afternoon and leave it at that. Shabbos morning, leave it at that. I have to take it to the most ridiculous degree. So in the same way, when I got into Liverpool, it wouldn't have been enough for me to just get a few home games. I went to every single game. I was going home, away, Europe. I went to pre-season friendlies. I was going to friendlies where the Liverpool ticket office would phone me up and say, we've got a match at Bournemouth. Do you fancy going?
That literally happened.
I said, is my friend Edward from Warrington going? They said, yeah, we've just called him. He says, he'll go if you go. And that's totally true. I was going out with my wife, then girlfriend at the time, and she thought I was cheating on her because she couldn't find any mention of the game in the papers. I was going to matches that were so obscure, even the newspapers didn't know about them. That's how obscure the game is.
Well, we're about to test your Liverpool knowledge over
right,
here.
Okay, go on then.
Teddy, feel free to chime in, because Rabbi Teddy is currently wearing a delightful bright pink Liverpool FC. That's the goalkeeper jersey, right, Teddy?
It is.
And we also have joining us Yisroelit Kiefman, who is the son of the Chabad Shliach to Liverpool. So you are the only born and bred Scouser in the room over here. So feel free to chime in, boys.
Let's give me a chance.
I got some notes over. I want to test the commitment. Okay, let's see. I have a few questions over here. Let's see.
See if I can get them, then we'll open
okay,
them up.
Okay, there
on.
We go. Okay, against which team did Felipe Coutinho register his first goal in a red shirt?
You know, that I... No, I'm going to pass that one to
Sonic. I know.
Oh, okay. Really? Go on, Teddy.
Bolton.
Swansea.
Was it?
Swansea is the correct score. Okay. All right, Ashley Blaker. You ready for this?
Yep.
Ashley Blaker is an interesting name for an Orthodox Jewish comedian, by the way. Sounds like a perfume. All right. Right. I think you've cornered the market in Ashley Blaker.
Go on.
Okay, next one. John Aldridge wore the number 8 shirt at Liverpool. Because his Anfield legend graced the jersey. Who is he?
Sir Roger Hunt.
Is the correct answer. It's like a question of sport over here.
Okay,
next one. Okay, you ready for this, Yisroelit? Feel free to chime in. Who provided the assist for Ian Rush to make it 3-1 in the 1986 FA Cup final?
Ronnie Whelan.
Correct. All right. If you get this, this is deep cuts over here. When Liverpool beat United 2-1 at Anfield on Boxing Day in 1979, which future captain scored a rare goal?
Toshak.
No, Graeme Souness.
Nope.
Oh, of former future captain of Liverpool.
Which future captain?
Hansen.
Yes.
Good guess.
You'll never win anything with kids. Okay. All right. We've got a few more over here. Okay.
On,
you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Against which side did Robbie Fowler register his first Premier League hat-trick against?
His first Premier League hat-trick, I think it was against Southampton.
Is the correct answer. Okay.
I'm impressed.
By the way, unlike the rest of the rabble on the podcast, I believe you went to Oxbridge, right?
That's true. I went to both.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, for our listeners, that is Oxbridge is Oxford and Cambridge.
Yes.
I went to KD, which means not a lot. Okay. Against which side, Mr. Oxbridge boy, did Peter Beardsley, Quasimodo himself, register his first hat trick in a red shirt against?
His first hat trick. Was it Derby County?
I'll give you a clue. Look at the screen right now. In a second.
United.
Yes.
Oh, United. Yeah, United, I remember that game. Yeah.
All right, we've got two more. Teddy, you're not chiming in over here. Teddy's an armchair supporter over here. Okay. So you may get this one, actually. Against which side did Ian Rush score his first hat trick in a red shirt?
Oh, that's. I'm.
Close. Knox County.
Knox County. I was on the right track.
All right, okay. All right, and the final question, Rabbi Teddy.
Yeah.
Who scored the first Premier League goal under the reign of Jurgen Klopp?
I'll get this. Chan was in the Europa League when the Premier League would have been... It was 0-0 at Spurs.
Right.
And then... Benteke?
Yes.
Nice.
All right, I'm impressed.
I remember that.
All right, so...
Do you know what it is? Seriously, I don't know if you noticed there, the questions I got right and the questions I got wrong.
All the old ones.
No, when you were less from... No, when I was going.
Right.
I remember because all those games, I was at all those games.
Right.
So, I was at, like, that Fowler, when Fowler scored that hat-trick and whatever. And I was there when Fowler made his debut at Craven Cottage.
That was in the League Cup
against Fulham. I actually missed his goal because it was raining so heavily and I'd gone in just a T-shirt. And it was an open terrace I had to leave before then. I was completely soaked, and he scored a late goal. But yeah.
Okay, I have a question. Side question over
here.
Yeah, go on. So Saul Bellow once said, "Oppressed people tend to be witty." Mel Brooks has said, "If you have the last laugh, you win, even when you lose." There is actually a holy element to humor. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's
and you've
it's
written a book about this, haven't you?
I wrote the book Shtick Shift.
Yeah.
That's me, available in all good bargain basement bookstores, and I have many copies under the bed, unsold.
I've got a copy. I've got a copy. You gave me a copy.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you got a lot of time on your hands. Okay. They're, you know, for many people, you know, humor's been used as a coping mechanism, and I'm just curious to know that I was always the class clown in school. I was kind of bullied a little bit in school, and I kind of discovered the power of humor. Has that something that you've experienced in your life?
What, bullying?
Bullying, yeah. Oppression. I know in England that you know there is more anti-Semitism. Mm. It's growing in America, but it was very apparent and a part of my life growing up. Is that
no,
something
I was. I mean, I was bullied at school for being Jewish. At a Jewish school as well.
I knew it.
Which is terrible. Yeah. But no, I
was that Matt Lucas that bullied you?
Yeah. No, I'm joking. No, I mean, Haberdashers was an extraordinary school because it was just such incredible bullying between everyone. I mean, I went to this kind of school, right? This is totally true. Where on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the biology teacher would say, "Let's work really hard today so the Jews can't catch up." That is genuinely what they would say. And but it was that kind of culture. You couldn't say that now. But no, coping mechanism. No, I've always enjoyed performing. It really is a great feeling. You know, like last.
So you're not like a tortured soul.
I really don't know. I don't think that's me. I'm not that. I think that's a bit of a cliche, but that's not really me.
Wow. Okay.
I just really enjoy it. Like last night, I did a show in New York, and when I was really enjoyed last night, it's just a great feeling when you feel like I don't know, say 150 people there last night. It wasn't a huge room, but. You know, and you feel like they are hanging on your word, and you must enjoy that. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. It's a great
doesn't
feeling.
Happen that often with them.
I enjoy when I get up in front of 10 people and shul and make them laugh. But what's it like making Americans laugh? And do you find it difficult, the colloquial differences between American and English?
No,
you can't crack a joke about fish balls.
No, but I've really, you know, put in a lot of work, and I was actually thinking last night, like I said, I did a show last night, and. Thank God, I feel like I've got that down now. Of like, this is the American show. It's got all the language that's right. It's got all the references that are right. It's got all the sense, you know, the kind of jokes that like Americans don't like puns, for example. They hate puns. I was showing a American comedian friend of mine who opened for me in my off-Broadway show in the summer called Tally Reese, and I was showing her one night a clips on YouTube of Tim Vine. Now, do we all know Tim Vine here? Tim Vine's quite a famous British comedian whose whole thing is just puns. He just like he's got lines like Velcro, what a rip-off. Now, we all laugh, but Americans, they were just watching this groaning, going, oh my goodness me, this is awful. This guy's the most, why aren't they booing him off? Americans hate puns, whereas British people love puns. Tim Vine's
I got one for you over here. Humor is essential for Shalom Bayit. That's why it's called Shalom Bayit. Because when your wife asks for something, you have to buy it. Sorry.
By the way, Tim Vine won the best joke at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah, he normally does.
His winning joke was, "I've just been on a once-in-a-lifetime holiday. I'll tell you what, never again."
Great joke. That's a great joke. But I mean, I think,
If that was the winner, I'd hate to hear the runner-up. By the way, I was astounded that you actually were at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is, if those listeners don't know, is really the premier comedy festival in the United Kingdom. In the world. Yeah. You were, I'm assuming, playing largely for a Gentile crowd.
That's right, yeah.
How did that go down, and did they get the humor?
Yeah, no, it was great. And obviously, again, just like... If you just got to do the work. If you're performing for Americans, you got to make sure you're standing up and talking about cell phones and not mobiles and I don't know, sidewalks instead of pavements and all that kind of thing. And make sure you've got your homework right, that the phrases that they don't understand you've got rid of. And in the same way, if you're going to stand up in front of a room that's got any Gentiles in it at all, don't be talking about Shabbos, be talking about the Sabbath and explain the things that need to be explained. And yeah, as long as you put in that homework... and make sure that no one wants to be mystified. No one ever wants to listen to something and not know what you're talking about.
Do they pay in Edinburgh? How does it work?
No, comedians. You're obsessed with
money,
aren't you?
You have to split the pot between each one.
No, I'll tell you, because people say, because like I did a sold out run. You know, just sold out run through. Yeah, no, and I it probably cost me, like in terms of dollars, probably cost me about $3,000 that month. I mean, basically. Yeah, it costs you. Edinburgh is not a money making thing. It's like a loss leader. It's just that is right. No one makes money in Edinburgh.
You're there for the covered and for the publicity.
You just don't. It's not a money making thing. No one really makes money.
Okay.
It really is a big rip off that.
There is, you know, in Judaism, really, there's a holy element. Many rabbis will begin their weekly sermon with a joke. It's explained that humor opens
it's
people
a very
up
Jewish thing.
To become. I got a great stat for you. Great start. I've got to find it. I may have to edit.
No, but it's a very curious thing. You can't imagine like Abu Hamza getting up and going, here's a funny one I heard the other day. Like, you know, he just kind of... I can't imagine that. And nothing against... Yeah, but like... But for some reason, every rabbi wants to be a stand-up when he gets in his pulpit.
Okay, you got to hear this, Ashley. So according to the Pew Center, they did a study a few years ago.
The
they
what?
Asked
the Claude
the
Puel
Pew,
Center?
The Pew Research... Center.
I've never heard what that is,
it's like an American think tank. They ask Jews to identify the main qualities that are essential to Jewish identity. 73% said the Holocaust. That was number one. And number four was actually caring for Israel, 43%. Number five was a sense of humor, 42%. It is almost as important and as essential to the Jewish
What were the rest? Sushi and bad parking.
Yeah, you got it in one.
Yeah.
Actually, fish balls, but moving on. All right, so I want to bring in, we have joining us, we've got an esteemed rabble of rabbis joining us. We just watched the football, so I guess we'll start with Ashley. Okay. But I want to ask you, what's your thoughts on the Manchester derby? What's your thoughts on your team, Liverpool?
Yeah.
And how's the season going thus far?
That's three questions, but I can answer them together, actually, right. because Liverpool have had an amazing start to the season, 30 points, but it's just so depressing. That watching the Manchester derby, because you realise City are just so good that it doesn't even matter that Liverpool have had the best start they've like ever had, because unless you win every single game, I just can't see how you're ever gonna catch up with them. It's extraordinary. It's really sad. In any other season, Liverpool would win the league, but unfortunately, we live in the time of City, and what can we do?
So we're going to ask Rabbi Teddy. You are also a rampant Liverpool fan. What's your feeling watching the Manchester derby, and how's the season going thus far for Liverpool, and what's your predictions?
Well, it's tough watching the Manchester derby, but you know, City did outplay United, but the way United are playing at the moment, I'm not 100%. It's a reflection of anything that important right now. But the City are getting into top gear.
Right.
And
that's the scary part.
That is the scary part. Right. And
They're hitting form,
right. As they say. But I got to think to myself that it's got to stop somewhere, because I don't think you can do it the whole season. But
last season.
You did last season, but you had times, you know, where you had to get goals in the last minute, like you know Sterling against Southampton last year. You know, there were times when you had to do that. And I also think that we're nowhere near top form at the moment. Even the game we played this morning, we won, but. You know, we didn't play. I don't think we played great. We have a lot more that we can do, and I still think City will win it. But it will. I think we'll get close, and it will be a lot closer than it was last year. And you know, that's the only thing I can hope.
All right. So we want to bring in Menachem Weinstein, who, for those listeners that don't know, is a film director extraordinaire. Travels all over the world, producing and directing videos. And as a Man United fan, that must have been a painful watch. What's your feeling post Manchester derby?
I'll tell you what.
And what's your thoughts about Manchester United thus far and going forward for the rest of the season?
I'll tell you something. When I was a kid growing up in Stamford Hill, I played on the local Lubavitch football team. On Sundays, we used to go to the park. And we used to play against the non-Lubavitch team. And there were two players.
You got battered.
There were two players on the non-Lubavitch team. Whenever they turned up on Sunday, we knew we were going to lose. And we played like we were going to lose. We were like, okay, we'll just play for the fun of it. That's what United looks like right now. They look like a team who's just found out they've been relegated, and they're playing because, we have 10 fixtures left. You know, we got to go. We got to do this. You know, it's heartbreaking.
Wow. Strong word. Do you realize what you just said? Manchester United, the most recognizable global brand in world sport, you are comparing them to a Sunday League Lubavitch team. Are you aware of the enormity of what you just said?
Do you know what? Sadly, it's true. I mean, I remember watching Ryan. I fell in love with Manchester United through Ryan Giggs. That he was my guy. I loved watching him fly down the wing.
Giggsy.
Was that celebration against Arsenal that did it?
Oh, best chest. Best chest in the Premier League. I'll tell you that much.
Unbelievable goal.
But do you know what? When Fergie left, man, I cried that day. End of an era. As soon as David Moyes walked through the doors of Old Trafford, it was over, mate. It was over.
I think he tripped up as he walked in.
It was over, and it's really sad because we have such a great history and we have such a great
heritage
around the world, and it's sad that the board has let it come to this, you know, this situation.
The ball they're not playing, by the way. It's the, you know, the team. Ashley, grab the mic just then. I feel like you have.
No, I was just curious about the comparison between. I was fixated. You were fixated on the aspects that you were comparing United to a Sunday League side. I was interested in the comparison to them being Lubavitch. I wonder what that made Mourinho like. You know?
I think if anything, City would be Lubavitch. We have Mendy. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to stop right there.
Stop there. Stop there. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to ask Rabbi Beanstalk, who, by the way, walks in most Shabbosim to our minion on Myrtle Avenue. Can be seen Shabbat morning in the shul. What's your feeling post Manchester Derby? How painful a watch was it? And what's your thoughts for the rest of the season?
So thank you for having me back on.
It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
I see everyone's wearing a poppy. It's very nice to see everyone's poppies over here. It is poppy season.
Of course.
Today is Memorial Day. Thank you, yep. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the biggest United fan. I haven't watched every game this season, but, you know, a derby game is a derby game. You always have to watch it. I do not appreciate your pessimism, Mr. Weinstein. Thank you. We have great days ahead of us. We have great days behind us. Every team, you know, whatever. Everyone's got a day in the sun. Now it's cities.
Not in Manchester, there isn't.
Sorry,
no.
Oh, I walked into that one. Okay, fine. Not in Manchester, but some odd reason City are doing well. You know, life is like a right now, City's game, but you know what? It's don't worry. The league is not over.
The league is over.
We're not even halfway through. And as Simcha said earlier, that he actually misses the days of old where City would be losing every single game in like League
don't
One. And
remember saying that, but moving on. Teddy's chiming in.
Just as he misses them, I miss the United games, but the United days of old. But I do believe they will come back.
In the first podcast we did, by the way, we had a gong for every song cliche. That would have been gong filled with every cliche.
Well, every word Simcha, that comes out.
Talking about your fishbowl, Simcha, yeah?
Yeah. Back to the fishbowl.
You know when you're like a 12-year-old boy, and right. you just finished Musaf and you're making a direct run for the Kiddush. And you're visualizing your fishbowls and you're visualizing everything, right?
If you finish Musaf, you've already lost the game.
If you come 3-4 minutes late to a Kiddush and you turn up and all the fishbowls are gone. Right, that's what's like watching United nowadays. You come to the game, you see the warm up, you're all excited, you're all like, oh, come on, this is it. It's like watching England, the same thing watching
just
England.
Just the
egg salad.
That's all that's left.
It's the fishballs, man.
Right,
they're gone.
You know
the fishballs are gone. We need a new.
The interesting thing about watching a team when they kind of dominate a league, like with City, is, and I don't have anything against City. It's not like, you know, it's not like United, but the every game you're kind of hoping that something will happen at the end of the game and they'll draw or they'll lose, they'll drop points, but it doesn't happen. And say it was like that last season. Fergie time's over. It doesn't apply to City, and it's going to be a tough season watching this. But I hope something does happen. But it's tough because you're always waiting for something to happen.
It's amazing how cyclical football is in this country, because you know in other countries where you know it's always been Real Madrid and Barcelona are there or thereabouts, whatever. But here, like we had Liverpool on top for years, and then that era ended, and then United were on top for a long time. And you look at it now, and you really can't imagine that coming back for quite a long time.
Right. It's can incredible. any other country that, on earth can Leicester win? I mean, they couldn't because they're in England. But moving on. Okay, I want to ask Yisroelik Kiefman, who's sitting quietly. His fingers are on the controls over here. We thank you for all you do. Yisroelik, any thoughts post-Manchester Derby? How's the Liverpool season going so far for you? And what's your prediction for the season ahead?
Well, everyone else was a bit glum.
Teddy's getting his jacket.
You know what? We're playing very well. We've had one of the best teams I've ever seen. The big issue is that Manchester City nowadays, no one speaks of them as a football team at the moment. They're just a machine that just wins football matches, outplays teams like Manchester United. And so we've got to do what we're doing and then just see what happens with City. You know, it could happen that if they go flat, they've not got De Bruyne back for another month and a bit now. We can only hope. After an international break, it gets really busy. December and
no, but I suppose the depressing thing, Trudic, is that you can't imagine Liverpool doing as well, like results wise, for the rest of the season.
I think we're going to get better. We're going to get.
We must.
Do Liverpool have the depth
in terms
of
the results?
So I, by the way, talking about the depth in squad. Sorry to interrupt you, but the
depth in squad. You mean squad and depth? No, depth in squad.
The depth of squad. The
depth.
To have the squad depth. Sorry, to
we're going to edit this whole section out anyway. So,
I think about the squad depth is it may be only up front we have an issue about squad depth. Yeah, okay, fine. No one's going to replace Van Dijk, but then how can you could say that with every team? Like, no, can you say your goal? You know, for City is
yes,
your
I
backup
can.
Goalkeeper
We've got Vincent
Edison?
Company on
yeah,
the
but if you got if you got a replacement for Edison, Bravo's injured, so you haven't got a goalkeeper
recall
exactly
Joe
like him.
Hart.
No, but everyone's got important players. I just think the shame for Liverpool, the I suppose the depressing thing is. Is if you
City
have
don't
had
look like they're going to lose anytime soon.
Exactly, and not only that, the fact that we've had the best start we've had in the Premier League,
right.
And we're already 2 points behind, and you just kind of think, oh, we're probably.
And the goal difference is already
astronomical. And basically, exactly, it means that it's like right. three. And so if Leicester right. won the league with 81 points. Well, Liverpool, I would wager the money in my pocket that Liverpool will get over 81 points this year, but it's not going to
right.
win the league.
Even 86 points used to be what to guarantee the league.
I don't think Liverpool could get 90 in the
95 win the wouldn't yeah. might not even win the league this year.
Yeah, you know, something that bothers me, Menachem. Also, I want to acknowledge my dear friend Sheldon Kay is in the room, sitting glumly in the corner, a lifelong Man United fan, a multiple year season. Yeah, the season ticket holder, followed the team through thick and thin across the globe. Just pass the mic. I want to ask Sheldon, who's what's your thoughts post Manchester Derby?
By the way,
how bad was it and how bad can it get?
By the way, he's a picture about. This is what any football fan looks right. like after losing a big right. derby game.
Right.
Just sitting there.
Right.
So many problems that it's known which one to pick. I mean, we all talk about how City were great. I just think we just allowed City to play today. We just didn't show the desire on the pitch. It was just really disappointing to watch. I think we could have done right. a lot better. We just didn't perform at all.
They parked the bus. They didn't have a go. They weren't fighting. They weren't scrapping. Game. They lost the midfield. Oh, it's fantastic.
We allowed City to play their game. We really did. We could have disrupted them in a better way, even with the way we've been playing this season. We could have made it more difficult for them than we did.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's it. Permission to speak freely. Okay. There is something that I want to put to the panel over here. There's an arrogance of Man United fans. They feel like they have this entitlement. You know, like Ashley said, the football goes in cycles, in waves. Now it's City's time. It's a unique time. We have a unique manager. It's a unique time. They have a unique financial backing. Who knows? You know, that may not last forever. But they're not gracious. Liverpool had it in the 80s, and they're gracious about it. And I don't see Liverpool fans kvetching, moaning, berating their team the way that I see United fans. What's your thought about that, Ashley?
Yeah, I can see that, but I think it just takes time. Right. Like that United are probably where Liverpool were in like 92, 93. Now, all those years after we last won the league, it's a very different thing. Look, you know, I can really empathise because I went through that. United have had an incredible period of success, and you think it's never going to stop. And actually, not only were they like the biggest club, the most successful club, they also had the most money. And so you would have thought, well, even when Ferguson goes, it's not going to. Why would it change?
Right.
But it's difficult. I think you do also see, and this is why Arsenal probably were kind of nervous about getting rid of Wenger, is that when a man like Ferguson is so in charge of a club
right.
and runs every part of it. Sorry? Yeah, he was in charge of right. every single aspect that went on that club. When he goes, it leaves this incredible vacuum. And no one knows what to do, and it might take United 10 years, whatever, to really get back at all.
All right, pass the mic to Menachem over here. Are you a passionate fan or are you a sore loser?
I tell you what, we really expect a lot from Manchester United, and we. I tell you where the complaining comes from. It doesn't come from, you know, oh, we're not winning what we used to. There's no passion anymore, man. Right. Any player who wore Manchester United shirt used to have such pride. That was the pinnacle of his career.
You can lose with dignity. Okay, I have to ask Rabbi Teddy, who is looking at his phone. His watch is talking to him. He's got his jacket on. It's a parka. It's not pink, but it's close. I want to ask Rabbi Teddy, before you go, we know you're a busy man. You're all over the world, captain of industry. What's your prediction for the top four?
Oh, that's a good question.
And do you have any final thoughts, Teddy?
I would say top four. I would say City, Liverpool, Chelsea, and I would go for Spurs, because I think Arsenal, you know, it's his first year in charge, and Arsenal, though they're going to be the dark horse, but I still feel it might take him time to get completely caught up. But yeah, in regard to final thoughts, I think competition is a good thing. And I think in general in life, competition makes us stronger, makes us work harder. And I think on a spiritual level as well as a physical way in the game, but also in a spiritual level, competition, like we have in our lives, we have to work hard for everything that we do. We work hard to daily when it comes to work, when it comes to making a living, and I think also when it comes to staying inspired, we have to work hard. And I think that it's much more better for in the Premier League than when it's competitive. We enjoy it better, and I think in life as well that we have to have there's distraction was only there to be that we should work harder to be inspired.
Okay, beautiful. All right, so I'm going to ask TV's Ashley Blaker. Final thoughts, and what's your prediction for the top four?
Top four, City first, then Liverpool. And then, yeah, probably actually as it is at the moment, actually, Chelsea, and I'll say Spurs.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's
All right, Yisraelik, you want to give a prediction for the top four? In closing,
I think the UEFA Nations League, England will be top. It's coming home, followed by Croatia, Spain, and then, that's
it. All right, Menachem, what's your thoughts for top four predictions?
I think Stamford United will win the league this year.
You think Lubavitch B team on the Sunday?
All right. No,
they've got a great player called Menachem Mendel.
Yeah.
He's coming Mendy, through the ranks. Yeah. Mendy.
No, I think City have it. City have it. I think Liverpool will be probably their biggest contender, biggest challenger. And I think Arsenal might surprise us this season as well.
All right. Maybe okay. Beanstalk, in closing, what's your prediction for the top four?
I think Salford FC is going to win the league.
Moving on. Sheldon Kay. Sheldon Kay, pass the mic. What's your prediction for the top four? It's going to hurt you to say it, but you got to say it, man. Truth is the truth.
It's City again. Liverpool, Chelsea, and Spurs.
Okay, so I think I'm with Sheldon. I think City, and I think City. I don't think it's going to be close. I think they're only going to get better, and if not, they'll just buy better. That seems to be the way it's done. In 2018, I think Liverpool look great. They have a phenomenal manager. He's passionate. He's brought great players. You do have a depth in squad. He's improved the team. Phenomenal goalkeeper. Phenomenal Dick Van Dijk was a great purchase at the back. I think followed by Chelsea, who look good, a dark horse, surprising people. And I think it's either going to be Tottenham or Arsenal, but probably Tottenham. Who's going to be fifth? Anyone but United. That's it. I want to, in close, I want to thank everyone for coming on the podcast. It's been an honor to have a celebrity like Yisrael Beanstalk joining us. I know he's busy preparing for his show. Ashley's off Broadway, and Yisrael is off. He's a Broadway in Bushwick. There you go. So I want to thank you for coming. And finally, I'd like to ask Ashley, how can we follow you, find you, and where can we purchase tickets and merchandise? And the listeners of the Hipsit podcast get a
AshleyBlaker.com.
Right.
And it's got there the links to all the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all of that. So, yeah. And as for the tickets, well, the tour will hopefully be announced and go on sale in some point in February.
You are a ferocious social media.
Mainly Facebook, actually, to be honest. Yeah, mainly Facebook. So, I've look for the blue tick on there.
Sponsored by Ribena. Are they on the list? My mother, when I was a kid, my mother always told me, she always told me, it's not on the list, not on the list. Vimto was off the list. So that's it. She left it out.
Wait, so you're not about Shiva then?
I'm from England. I'm like Ashley. We grew up, you know, that's how we grew up. We grew up going to shul.
Thank you, Ashley.
Whatever's on the list is on the list.
I just got another Instagram follower. First in a while.
Excellent.
Thank you.
There you go.
Pleasure.
Didn't do much on that one.
All right. So in closing, thank we want to thank all the guests. We want to thank Rabbi Teddy. We want to thank Sheldon. We want to thank Menachem. We want to thank Yisroelik. Want to thank...
Menachem.
We say Menachem?
No, you didn't say
Menachem, Sheldon, Yisroelik, Menachem, Teddy, who Teddy's already out
and
the
Menachem.
Door.
And
I want to thank Yisrael. And finally, how do you get in contact with Teddy? No one cares. You all know. You all know. I want to thank Rabbi Beanstalk. And finally, I want to thank the great, the legendary, the hysterical, and above everything, Ashley Baker, you are a mensch. Above all. And finally, this is Rabbi Simcha saying good night. Good night.
Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!